Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
And God's word often comes upon us, and it isn't the word that has a problem. The problem is the soil. It is us. So Jesus is talking about different benefits that people get from the word of the kingdom, according to Matthew. He's not talking about money for you to believe that, well, I am believing that this my seed is going to yield 100, not 60, and not 30. You believe for the highest 100. Ha! Jesus wasn't talking about that. Okay, let's move on. The third financial abuse and false practice I want to talk about. Remember that our aim is for us to please God in our financial affairs, and it is a higher aim than becoming rich. In the course of it, if you get rich, then you have a fringe benefit from following the word of God. But the aim, ladies and gentlemen, that we should have is pleasing our Maker, pleasing the God of our love. There is a teaching that sometimes goes on that says that you are cursed if you don't give your tithe. And they refer to Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 10. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 10. The Bible says over there that you have robbed me, all of you, referring to the people of Israel. And then the people ask, how or in what have you robbed you? And God answers, in tithes and offerings. So they robbed God in what? Tithes and offering. And he says that you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithe into the storehouse. The church is a storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. On and on and on and on. So they teach that you are cursed, according to the Bible, if you don't give your tithe. Now, that is not a very accurate understanding of scripture. It is in the Old Testament that you are cursed if you don't pay your tithe. Oh, thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Can we just lift up our hands and just bless his holy name for taking away the curse? For taking away the curse. Oh, thank you for taking away the curse. Galatians chapter 3, then verse 13. Jesus did a marvelous thing for us. Marvelous thing for us in the New Testament. Galatians 3 verse 13 to 14 makes us to understand that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. So, Jesus Christ in the New Testament has redeemed us from the curse of the law, from the curse of not giving tithe. He took away the curse and left the blessing. Are you not excited about that? So that taking away the curse, the blessing of Abraham will be able to come on us. One of the important blessings of Abraham, as you read the book of Genesis, is that God blessed him financially. Wow. He was rich, the Bible says. His finances were good. Okay? So, Christ has redeemed us from the curse. Somebody says, Pastor, does it mean that we don't pay tithe anymore? No. We still pay tithe. But we pay tithe not out of a fear of a curse, but out of love for God. That is what makes our giving count in the sight of God. It's not out of a fear. So if you want to please God in your financial affairs, you don't give your tithe, because when you don't give it, then you are going to have God himself is going to curse you. It's not so. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, we are blessed. We are blessed in the New Testament. The Bible says that if you still follow the Old Testament, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 8, then you do not activate the new covenant. Okay? As long as the old stays, the new is not activated. That is why we need to move out of the Old Testament. There are many people who are still living under the law in their finances. But God wants us to come out of living under the law, so that our giving is motivated just by love for God and for his work to go on, and not by a fear of being cursed, a fear of your children having lorry accident, a fear of maybe you getting sick and all that. We pay our tithe, or we give our tithe, out of love for God and not out of an obligation in itself. Because if you live under the law, what happens is that you become very meticulous. You see, you lose the spirit of tithing in the New Testament. And everything you have to calculate. In fact, you can spend all your hours or your life calculating your mint and your anise and your grains and everything. You have to pay it 100%, 1/10. And if you go, even some people even go to an extent of saying that if you go 1/12, it's not a tithe. Oh, let us get the spirit of financial matters in the kingdom of God. You pay your tithe with the spirit of the New Testament. Because you see, there is a difference between the New Testament and the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, people, God was enforcing things from the outside. In the New Testament, he, let me put it this way, enforces it from the inside. It wells inside. But in the Old Testament, there is no welling inside. It is an imposition from outside that if you do this, this will happen. If you don't do this, this will happen. So from the outside, God was imposing his law. But he says that, look, I am doing a new covenant with you. And I am going to write my laws in your heart. In other words, I'm going to just initiate things from your heart and from your inside. You see, that is why in the Old Testament, Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Because nobody, and human beings, do not obey God because they fear death. Human beings can defy God. What God told Adam and Eve was that in the day that you eat of this fruit, you will die. Well, they didn't understand even death, because nobody had died. No animal had died. Nothing had died. No leaf had maybe died. So, in fact, that thing just knew that God said, in the day that we eat, we are going to die, or something like that. So, here was Adam and Eve. The devil managed to get them to disobey God. Disobey God. Because fear of death, fear of hell, fear of curse will not keep people away from death and from curse and from hell. Do you know, in the New Testament, it is love for God that gets us to obey him. And that's the difference between us and the Old Testament. It's a different covenant. It's a different modus operandi altogether. The first one was outside, imposed by fear, and you will see they will stone you and all that. This one is from inside, And it must well out of love for God. That is why he takes away the enmity. He takes away all of the externalities so that we will be free to flow from our inside to obey God because we love God and not because of fear. Because fear does not make us obey. That is why Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Because fear does not make us obey. Love makes us obey. And that is the crux of God's work on this earth. He wants that out of love, we would serve him and give so that we enjoy the blessing in tithe. We enjoy the blessing in tithe. Hallelujah. Now, the fourth thing that I want to talk to you about to help us to be pleasing to God in our financial affairs is what some people claim that they have some special anointing for multiplying money. Money multiplying anointing. I want you to listen to me very carefully. Debt breaking anointing. I have watched people like that. And what they claim is that when money gets to them, you receive it back multiplied than in the hands of other people. In other words, they claim that they have a special anointing in such a manner that when the money falls into their hand, when you give to them rather than to somebody else, because of their higher anointing, higher yield will come. Wow, it's very interesting. But most of the time, they claim that the special anointing or ability that they have can only be activated by giving an offering to them or to their ministry or to their organization. Let me bring it home. They refer to themselves or their ministries as fertile soils or good ground or productive ministries. And they give an impression that because they are a good ground, money grows in their ground. If you sow it somewhere, you are sowing in an infertile soil, the money will not grow. You put it in my hand, and by the so-called anointing of God, money will grow. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that a good ground is not where money grows. A good ground is where the word of the kingdom grows. Is where the word of the kingdom is glorified. A good ground is where the word of God is sent out. Where the word of God expands. Hallelujah. It is not where money expands. A good ground is where the word of God expands or grows. We need to understand that the church is not a money multiplying entity. That's not the church. God didn't make his church a money multiplying entity. He didn't make any ministry a money multiplying ministry. He made his church and he made ministries that he has founded a kingdom multiplying entity. A kingdom expanding entity. It is in the world that money multiplies. It is in worldly investments like schools, factories, business, etc. That is where money multiplies. They are money multiplying entities. The church is not a money multiplying entity. Ecclesiastes 2 verse 26 tells us clearly that God gives labor to the wicked. Talking about to the sinner, to the unbeliever, to the world, so that they will do what? They will labor and they will heap up. In other words, they will multiply the money. If you want to multiply money, it's not in church. is not in a ministry. You multiply it in business. Outside the church. Okay? Heaping is done in entities in the world. The Bible clearly teaches that in Proverbs and in Ecclesiastes. The church is not a money multiplying entity. I want to talk to you also in the same breath about, as whilst we are talking about anointings, so-called anointings, I want to talk to you about supernatural debt cancellations. Supernatural debt cancellation. I've watched certain people talk about supernatural debt cancellation, and people come to give testimonies and things like that.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
You see, if you are in the financial world, like you're a banker, you are in a credit card company, etc., etc., you understand that mistakes are made. Sometimes somebody's credit goes into your account, so it goes to wipe away your debit. Now that is not supernatural at all. That is a mistake, a clear mistake. In fact, before you give testimony about it, just get to your bankers, and they will tell you that, oh, it's not supposed to be in your account. That is how come your debit has been wiped off, and you think that your debt has been canceled. It's not being canceled. It's a mistake. Computers also make mistakes, and so these things happen. I'm saying this so that we please God in our financial lives. Look at the book of Deuteronomy chapter 22 and then verse 1 to 3. Deuteronomy 22 verse 1 to 3. The Bible clearly tells us that there is restitutional giving. And a Christian has a moral responsibility, a Bible responsibility, to get such mistakes that appears in your account corrected. Get it corrected. Although it's not in your favor, tell them that, look, I'm not expecting anything in my account like this. You better investigate and take away that money. Don't take it. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and then verse 1 to 3. Who has the NIV? Pastor Till, do you have your NIV? Alright, Deuteronomy 22, 1 to 3, what does it say? Thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or his sheep go astray. Now, please understand that the ox and the sheep and all those things are the way that money, one of the ways that money was kept in the Old Testament, okay? So he says that look well to your flock and all that. It's not just talking about the church. It's talking about look to your finances well. Okay, so if you see somebody's sheep go astray and hide thyself from them, thou shalt not hide yourself from them. Thou shalt in any case bring them again unto your brother. If you read on, that is what it says. That somebody's credit has gone astray says that you should not overlook it or ignore it. It is your responsibility to go and get the thing corrected so that you show honesty. That is what restitution is all about. Says that if even your brother is not around, just keep it around you, and when he comes, you give it to the person. Restore to the person what belongs to that person. Okay? I believe that for most people, getting out of debt is not instantaneous. It will take hard work, it will take diligence, it will take good money management, wisdom, living within your means, the blessing of God, faith, all of it for you to move out. For most of us, it's not instantaneous. So let's watch it. Financial anointing does not behave the way that these so-called anointed ministers behave. Okay? Financial anointing gets the word of God to the poor. Luke chapter 5 verse 18. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." So the financial anointing, what does it do? It carries the word of God. It's manifested in the word of God that the poor must obey. Joshua 1, 8 and 9. "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate." In other words, you shall meta it and you shall observe it. And the Bible says that the result of meditating in the word of God and obeying the word of God is that you make your way prosperous. So the financial anointing is in the word of God. It's in you obeying the word of God, meditating on the word of God, and obeying the word of God. It is not in "bring your money. If it gets to me, I am going to multiply it into your life." You need to understand something very basic as I finish talking about the anointing. In relation, that is using the anointing, the word anointing, wrongly. I want to make us understand that the source of the anointing is really the word of God. It's not people. If you make people the source of the anointing, you are going to be deceived in this time. The source of the anointing is the word of God. Anointing is in the word of God. In fact, the greatest release of the anointing takes place when the word of God is being preached or taught. The greatest release of the anointing, it comes when the word of God is being preached or when it is being taught. It is not in any other spiritual activity, because the anointing is in the word of God. The source of the anointing is the word, not people. The people who are anointed, they get it from the word. It's not the word of God that gets anointing from some people. I hope you understand that. Now, if you do, you will get to understand why God does not necessarily anoint a person, but he anoints his word. And as long as the person remains in the word of God, the anointing will be there, because the anointing is in the word. And when you move away from the word of God, you realize that you are moving away from the anointing of God. I'm talking to you about the true anointing of God. That is why you must be beware of signs and wonders without the word of God. The greatest way that God wants the fivefold ministries, people who are representing him, the greatest way he wants them to demonstrate the anointing is in preaching and in teaching. Do it. "The Spirit is upon me that I would preach and teach." That is why all fivefold ministry must be able to preach and teach more than any other spiritual activity. It's important for your understanding, ladies and gentlemen. It's important for your understanding. There is no spiritual event in the church that is more anointed than the word of God. The anointing is in the word. Hallelujah. Let's talk about something else. The fifth thing I want to talk to you about is giving. It's about giving. And this wrong understanding emphasizes that giving is the most important way to prosper. Giving is the most important way to prosper. I'm talking to you about the overemphasis on giving. Overemphasis on giving. Asking people to give all the time. Always giving. Always asking. Always asking. always appealing for funds, always asking for money. I believe that it is a wrong financial practice. Pastor, are you saying that we should not appeal for funds again? That is not what I'm saying. I'm talking to you about the overemphasis in certain circles. Sometimes I watch people and they are always talking about, they are always asking, they are always appealing for funds. And, you know, something inside of me doesn't just agree with that, you know. Because anytime you see them, they are going to ask for money. They are going to tell you to give. And I believe that that is not a biblical practice. The overemphasis on asking and giving is not a biblical practice. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 5 verse 18. Jesus said that he came to preach the gospel to the poor. In the Greek, the word translated poor is the word beggar. Beggar. Who is a beggar? A beggar is always somebody who is asking for things. Asking. Says that, I do not want you to be a beggar. I do not want you always to be asking people, asking for money. He said, well, you have to support the work of God. Yes, people must support the work of God. But not always. Not the overemphasis. I believe that Jesus Christ sent the word to the poor, to the beggar, to take him out of begging. And if God doesn't want people to beg, I don't get it when we think that he wants his church to be begging. I don't get it. Because if he doesn't want me to be a beggar, then why does he want me to beg people for money? Hallelujah. You see, the church of the living God is a holy, anointed institution. And if we put our finances right, I believe that God is going to bless us tremendously. If you put it right. Look at 3 John 2. 3 John 2. 3 John 2. We like one part of 3 John, the 2, but we don't read the rest. 3 John 2 to 7. What does it say? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. And I want us to understand all of the things that John is speaking in context, okay? Understand it from the very first verse, verse 2. That, beloved, I wish above all things that you will prosper. Of course, we know that it includes financial prosperity and being held, even as your soul prospers. That's spiritual prosperity. He says, because I rejoice greatly. Why is he excited and wishing that they will do well, or praying that they will do well, even financially, apart from other areas of doing well? He says, because I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth. What truth? That is in thee, even as you walk in the truth. And he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. What is that truth? Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of your charity. In other words, he says that, look, you are walking in a certain truth, and you are being kind to strangers and to the church or to the brethren, And these brethren, verse 6, have borne witness of your love, of your agape love before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou doest well. Because for his name's sake, that is for God's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. What is John talking about? John is saying that certain people left the church and they went out as missionaries. And the most important feature of these people who went out is that they went out for his name's sake. Number one. And two, they took nothing of the Gentiles. In other words, they did not accept things from the world. That's powerful. That's powerful right there. There is a version that says that accepting nothing from the heathen. They went out to do God's work. Oh, accepting nothing from the heathen. Another version says, taking nothing from the people of the world. Says, I like it. And you guys are walking in truth. You guys, I wish that God prospers you. You guys, you will do well. Because for his name's sake, you went out. Another version says that accepted no help from non-Christians. What am I teaching you, ladies and gentlemen? I'm teaching us to understand certain false financial practices that the church does. It is not all right for the church to print envelopes and go to, we used to go to areas, whether it's PTC or you go to Cocoa Board, we go to places and ask the world to sponsor the gospel. How? How can we beg the people of the world? It is wrong. I want us to understand that God does not want us to be asking. God wants us to be doing what? He wants us to be investing.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.